Well, good morning and welcome to Grace Church. I'm Mike Nickel and this is my wife Shannon, and what a blessing and an honor to be able to join you this morning for worship. And we hope that you all get involved and enjoy this time of worship and give praise to the one who makes all things possible. So, let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, your mighty hand is over everything going on right now, and though it seems so stifling to so many of us and scary, Lord, we know that there's a bigger picture that you see, that you have. Lord, let us all take this time that we have at home and with our families to spend more time with you. You've slowed us down enough that we can take time with you and have that enjoyment with you and that time with you, Lord. Lord, we pray for everyone out there, but we pray for those that already have the health issues, that are most vulnerable to this virus that's out there. Lord, we pray for those that are healthy. We pray for the college students that are tied up at home and not quite sure how to slow down with this. We pray for the busy people that aren't sure how to slow down with this. But Lord, please keep us all safe and keep us under your care and protection. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, in his amazing grace. Thank you.
the darkness, I called your name. Into darkness, your mercy came. Me out, lifted me up, it is your love. You bore my weakness, you took my shame, buried my burdens,
Pastor Jason with a couple of reminders for you, just so you know, again, we're still closed. But if you're watching this, maybe you also know that if you go to our website, gracechurchkelseyville.org, you will find a specific webpage that has all of our sermons. We've got some Bible studies that happen on Facebook too. You can find me every morning at 9 o'clock live on Facebook. We are working our way through Psalms. I know that Doug Bridges is trying to get a weekly Sunday school class one together for his Sunday school class. I know Pastor Gary is hoping to start a weekly one that is going to be dealing, it'll be on Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights about the churches in Revelation, and you're not going to want to miss that. I am also thinking about putting together another class, which will start online, but probably finish up once we all start reconvening again, hopefully. And that's going to be reading the New Testament in 90 days. The group of us who are reading the Bible between Christmas and Easter, we're in the process of wrapping up, depending upon where you're at. And I'm going to fire up reading the New Testament in 90 days, and I'd love for you to be a part of that. You can find all those videos. If you're not on Facebook, we get that. You can find all those videos posted on our website. And if you just go to our COVID-19 page, you'll find all that stuff there. If you go to our media page, you'll find some of it there too. On that COVID page and our event page, you're going to find our link to our online giving portal. So if you've been wanting to give online, you can do that. And we'll receive those funds. Thank you very much. Also, what's happening, another thing that's happening, is Refuge. If you're in youth or you have a youth, I know that Pastor Paul is doing a Wednesday night live stream of his study. You're working through your 40-day study. So check that out. You'll want to go to the Refuge Facebook, or the Refuge Instagram, or the Refuge website, or you come to our site and go to those sites and join in there. It'll be a good time for you. With that, let's get to the sermon. Pastor Gary.
Well, welcome, Grace Church. Meeting again online like this. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you also for your prayers. Lots going on. Before we get into the Word, we'll be in Psalm 131 this morning. But let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we ask as we go to your Word that we would apply these important truths to our life. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that we're not left without light, without hope. So we thank you for the chance we have to worship together, even though we're spread out in different homes, but Lord, we are united through your Holy Spirit. So help us not only be hearers, but doers of your word. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 131 is one of the Psalms of Ascent. Now what that means is that when the Jewish nation would come up to Jerusalem multiple times a year for festivals, for Passover, other things, they would sing these songs. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, it's on the top of a hill. And so you can imagine you're walking up from Jericho or wherever you may be, and you're walking up and you're singing a bunch of songs. And so let me encourage you, you can read those. There's Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. So let me read to you Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed my and quieted my soul, and like a weaned child I rest against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever, evermore. Now that was written by David. And I believe this, it was written at a time where he was trying to calm himself. Now how many of you need to calm yourself right now? I know I do. There's a lot of things that are happening, a lot of unknowns, a lot of things that I will potentially impact the rest of our lives or my life, and we can almost feel like we're out of control. And here we have a psalm that was written nearly 3,000 years ago that really helps. It helps me, and I believe it will help each one of us. It is called a Psalm of Ascent. Once again, They were using this song to prepare their hearts for worship. Charles Spurgeon, that pastor in London in the 1800s, said this about Psalm 131. He says, "It's a short ladder, yet one that rises to a great height." He said, "It's the shortest psalm to read, but one of the longest to learn." And so we'll want to look at this, these concepts of three concepts of humility, contentment, and hope. So in humility, he says this, "Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me." You know, when we face trials, we are either going to rely on our power or on the power of the Lord. We're going to rely on our cleverness, our resources, or we're going to rely on the Lord. And ultimately in my life, I know that there are times that I'll face trials and difficulties, and I will try to strategize. There's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, I find myself thinking about the problem and ruminating on it like a pressure cooker instead of humbly coming to the Lord in prayer. And for myself, prayerlessness really leads to a lack of humility. Because I really think that I can sort this thing out. I don't need God. St. Augustine said this, "The three greatest virtues of the Christian are humility, humility, and humility." But in our modern culture, downplays humility. We live in a culture where might equals right. You know, when all else fails, just brag more. You know how it works. We don't live in a society that rewards the humble. Unfortunately, in the Garden of Eden, this was the great original sin, was pride. God said, "Hey, here's how it works. Walk with me. Here's all the great stuff. Just don't do this." And the great temptation was that somehow God doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm going to come up with my own plan because my own plan is going to be superior to God's plan. Well, that's pride. And we may not have been there in the garden, and we may have be upset with our forefathers, Adam and Eve, for blowing it, but we blow it the same way every day. When we somehow determine that we don't need to rest in the Lord, we can walk with our own self-sufficiency. So basically, the sin of pride reveals itself in our lives as self-sufficiency, self-importance, self-righteousness, and self-indulgence. Self-indulgence is buying every roll of toilet paper at the store because you got there first. And that seems ridiculous. And even a couple months ago, we would have thought, well, who's going to do that? Well, I went to five places this week to find toilet paper for a homeless shelter, and I couldn't find any. So I got some donations, and we made it happen. But ultimately this, that's how sin of pride reveals itself. In self-sufficiency, self-importance, self-righteousness, and self-indulgence. Humility is recognizing that our strength comes from the Lord. And this is what David does. Humility also understands our own limitations. Look what it says here. "Nor do I involve myself in matters that are too difficult for me." I think that humility is one of the key aspects of our Christian existence. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and following, trying to describe, after he describes salvation in the first several chapters, describing what the Christian walk is all about. We are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling with humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance and patience towards one another, and doing all that we can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So Paul says, here's how to walk. The first thing is walk in humility. Peter, when he's talking to young pastors about how to be a pastor, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in his time he'll lift you up. Cast all your cares upon him. Jesus says that blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the same word for the humble. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, when it's talking about how we should all get along, it says we should look at and put on the attitude of Jesus. And it says that Jesus himself humbled himself, and he became a man and died on the cross for our sins. So here's a question I want to ask each one of us. Where in your life right now do you need to apply humility? Where do you need to apply humility? In the area of self-sufficiency, self-importance, self-righteousness, or self-indulgence? See, when you move on here, it's not just the issue of walking humbly, but it's also the realities that you and I, we do not know everything. In fact, in the world, there are mysteries. Anselm, 11th century monk, put it this way, I do not seek, O Lord, to penetrate thy depths. I by no means think my intellect equal to them, but I long to understand in some degree thy truth, which my heart believes and loves. For I do not seek to understand that I may believe, but I believe in order that I may understand. So at these times of difficulty, it's time for us to surrender to the Lord in faith and believe and know that the Lord is going to help sort them out. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. In the recent weeks, there's no way I could have predicted this. There's no way the church staff in a meeting at staff meetings predicted, here's how we're going to do all these things. We just have to think on our feet. But if we just think on our feet, and don't think on our feet as spirit-filled people, then we're gonna make some mistakes. And we're just trying to do the best we can. But one of those is to rely upon the Lord and not lean on our own understanding. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts, says the Lord. Well, that's for sure. So the fact is, the Lord sees these from a different vantage point. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the famous verse says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of thy law. There are secret things. There are things about God and his ways that I do not understand, because he's my heavenly Father. And I trust him, and I'm learning to trust him. Job chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. But as for me, I would seek God, and I would place my cause before God, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. Another version puts it this way, who performs wonders that cannot be fathomed. So some of what we're seeing around us today, I don't fathom. Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? I've had people ask me the question. But here's what I do know. At the very heart of God is this. He wants to have a relationship with people. He wants people to turn to him. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. Oh, the depths of the riches of thy wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has become his counselor, and who has first given to him what him that it might be paid back to him again? Friends, in the midst of these times, it's time for each one of us, including myself. I just want to trust the Lord that at the proper time he will shine light. It would be much more to my advantage if I could somehow see, in my own mind, see what's going to happen six months from now. I mean, are we going to go into a depression in the world? Is the whole economy going to fall apart? I can go down all these different dark alleys. And so in reality, I don't really want to know, because it's not going to help me. But what does help me is this, is to have the attitude of David, where he says, Lord, I'm not going to waste my time on endless things I can't understand, but I'm going to trust in you. Leave the unknowns in God's hands. So the next one, first is humility, next is contentment. And the picture here is just beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful metaphors and pictures in the whole Bible about contentment. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. Now in the ancient world, it was typical that a child was not fully weaned till age 2 or 3. So basically, when an unweaned child or a small baby is in its mother's lap, it is feeding because that's why it needs to be there. It cries, wah, wah, and then mom feeds, or there's a bottle now, whatever. But when you're a weaned child, your desire is comfort. Your desire is intimacy. This becomes one of the great challenges to the Christian, where we can try to run our Christian life like a German train station. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been to Germany, seen their train schedule, it's about that thick and just a bunch of little numbers. And it says train from Dusseldorf will come in, and it'll come at 5:55 and then leave at whatever. And it's right on schedule most of the time. And interesting enough, what the Lord is often calling us to do is to slow down and just be with Him. Jesus in Matthew 18 verse 3 says, unless you come to me like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But we get so sophisticated. During this time of challenge in our nation, in our community and world, I want to beg you, as I beg myself, slow down and spend time with the Lord. Turn the TV off, turn CNN off, whatever, and just talk to the Lord. Cry out to Him. Bring your prayers, your supplications, and your thanksgivings. Let them be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will stand guard in your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. We, as I said last week, we need to nest in the Lord. God cannot quiet your soul if you're not willing to be quieted. I flew back from New Zealand, wanted one of those extra leg places, you know, where I spent a little bit of extra money, so I had bulkhead. I was pretty pumped. And then I sat down right next to a family, and they had an infant. And I had pity on them. But ultimately, that child cried all the way from Auckland to San Francisco. There was no quieting that child. And ultimately this is that the Lord wants us to find our peace in Him. Paul himself said that he had learned the secret of contentment. So that means it must not be obvious. He's had to learn it in the highs and lows, the good, the bad, hungry, thirsty, whatever it was, he had to learn it. And he learned this. Here's the secret. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can get through a pandemic. I've never been through one before, so here's the lesson. I want to learn the lesson because I don't have to do it again. But part of it is this, is the ability to learn by leaning in to the Lord like a weaned child. You may need to turn off your cell phone. You may need to go on a walk with social distancing. But the issue is this, you need to find that time. Chuck Swindoll quoted a poem that's very powerful. It says, it was spring, but it was summer that I wanted, warm days and great outdoors. It was the summer, but it was the fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool dry air. It was the fall, but it's the winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of holiday season. It was winter, but it was the spring that I wanted, the warmth and the blossoms of nature. I was a child, but it was an adulthood I wanted, freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 that I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life is over, but I never got what I wanted. Friends, we have to live in the moment. Someone once said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery, today is a gift of God, and that's why they call it the present. In the midst of this crisis, slow down and lean into Jesus. Jump up on his lap just like this, just like King David. Can you imagine King David crawling up to his mom's lap? Well, this is the picture. We're crawling up into the lap of God and we're resting in him. The Lord wants to show himself. One of the most difficult times in my life, when Sue and I were in New Zealand and Carly was sick and we knew that there wasn't the medical help there for her, and we had bought a home and we were planning to spend 20 years there, and ultimately we decided, we felt God was leading us to move back to California. So I put Sue and Kevin on a plane. Carly stayed for a couple more weeks. Then she flew off, and then about a month after that, I put the dog on the plane, and the dog flew back, and then it was just me. And I remember going to a little place called Cozy Nook. And if you go on the Southern Highway in Southland, and it's really the southernmost tip of the Southern Island, a little place called Cozy Nook. There's no people there, just a place where a little harbor where a couple fishing boats are there. And I got there and I felt kind of lonely. My family was far away. I was really on the edge of an empire. This is the southernmost part of the British Empire. And then I came to the thought that God was still there, that he was the king of the edges. So I wrote this poem as I was flying back across the Pacific. Indulge me as I read it to you. I've been brought to the edge of earth, the edge of sea, the edge of the empire, and the edge of me. Stretched beyond all I thought possible and reasonable, stretched until I felt torn, yet tested and established for life on the edge. In the midst of the darkest days, I found the secret to a mystery. If God is eternal and his universe is the same, then there are no edges. There's only a center. If God is God of all, eternally present, King of all, then he is also the Lord of these self-imposed, earthbound edges that we live in. Jesus is the King of the edges too. Lord, as you have brought me to the edge of myself, body, soul, and spirit, your light and truth will never fail me. Lord, forever draw me to you, to your center, to your side, O King of the edges. You may be drawn, you may be frustrated, you may be scared. There may be a lot of things worthy of a lot of prayer and challenge, but here's what I can tell you. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he begs us to crawl up into his lap. So we have humility, we have contentment, last, we have hope. Here's what it says. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The word hope in the Bible is an assurance, a sure, positive expectation, a joyful expectation of God coming through. Is it a dependence upon God? Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. A missionary in Africa had this to say about trust. I can show you the graves of missionaries who died what would be called premature deaths. And if you trust in God's protection, my trust would have been crumbling long ago. Friends, my trust is in God, in the belief that He is in control and that whatever happens will happen for His glory. Hope does not disappoint. Set our hope and trust, as He's begging Israel, set your hope and trust in the Lord, not in the things around you. Not in, I'll only be happy if I'm surrounded by perfection or an economy that is skyrocketing, whatever. Lord, can help us have hope because it is a promise from Him. Corrie Ten Boom said these words, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its trouble. It empties today of its strength." Let me read that again. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength. In closing, there's this example I love. Halfway up the Swiss Alps, there's a popular resting spot. A good day's climb from the bottom to this halfway point. You usually can get to the rest house by lunchtime. And this is where it separates the men from the boys, because people get there for lunch and it's all cozy and a big fire and they're having their hot toddies and stuff, but they still are only halfway there. So after lunch, most of the people get up and they get back and they start climbing to the top, but there's a certain group of people that they're drawn by the comfort of the lodge. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they realize that they no longer have the time of day to make it up and back. They've missed their goal. They say, "I'll just wait here while you go to the top, and when you come back down, I'll join you. We'll go to the base together." And then after they realize they can't make it, they said, "Boy, only if I just kept climbing." Let me warn each one of us, there are certain things that can stop us along the way to our journey towards hope. One is weariness. I believe that weariness can get the best of us. And so that's why Jesus said, "Fix your eyes on me, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before you endured the cross, despises its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has suffered such hostility by sinners against himself, that you may not grow weary or lose heart." Friends, our goal is not to climb a mountain. Our goal is to be Christ-like. And in the midst of this, he will give us the strength to make it. The next thing that will trip us up to get to where we need to be is fear. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, for the Lord God will be with you." Still had giants to face, still had the Jordan River to cross. But be courageous, be strong. And I would say that for each one of you. That's my prayer for our whole church. Let's be strong and courageous. Be part of the solution. Breathe courage into one another. So the things that will keep us from getting there, one is weariness, next is fear, and maybe the most insidious is comfort. Seek the easy road. Amos chapter 6 verse 1, woe to you who are at ease, who have become complacent in Zion. This is supposed to be a battle. This is supposed to be something where we gear up and put on the armor of God. We stand firm against the attacks, and we are as Jesus to this county. And so I want to encourage you to pray every day for our healthcare workers, nurses and doctors. The stresses and the wave that's coming towards them can break some of them. We want to be strong and pray for them. And we want to look for ways that we can be a blessing to them. If you know of ways, let us know. We want to be part of that. We need to be praying for our sheriff and our healthcare officers. For those who have this massive burden of, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? And we need to continue to pray. But we also need to pray for ourselves. Because in the midst of the weariness, fear, and issues of the world, people, they need to see Jesus, and they will see it in our lives if we walk by faith. So keep climbing, keep focusing on Jesus, and we're going to make it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. Thank you, Lord, for Psalm 131, the example that we can climb up into a lap that you have prepared, that we may have a personal relationship with you. So strengthen us, Lord. Guard those in our church and around us who are at most at risk. And we pray, Lord, that we may bring honor to your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a great day.